Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Charlie Baker.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. Well, we got you involved, as we always do. Charlie had some revelations for us today. We also found out which is the only Premier League club with a market stall.
Yeah.
Which was
right
fun.
Up my alley,
we spoke to the
Paul.
People behind that. And we strayed from the usual diet of mainstream sport to the Paris, sorry, well, it's just the Dakar rally these days, and a two-time Brit winner of the race.
Yeah, I mean, it's if you can Google it and watch it,
yeah,
is what they do is absolutely brilliant. I like the trucks doing it, Paul. This guy's on a motorbike, isn't he? But the trucks doing it is crazy. They don't even stop and have a wee or anything trucks. You know, they don't. I thought they'd have like a service station and stop there, have
a
pasty, carry on.
Bottle in the cab, did they? Let's not go into too much detail. We had a chat. And here it all is. It is 6 minutes past one. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Charlie.
Afternoon, Paul. I listened to this show yesterday.
Did you really?
Yeah, not all of it. You know, I'm not like a stalker.
You've got better things to do. notes. You got a few notes.
Yeah, I listened to.
I wonder what that thing was with all the red pen down the side of it.
I listened to. I think you were talking to Darren Lewis.
We were talking
about some transfers, and you said about Tarek Lamptey.
Yeah.
How he'd been the quickest person to put a zero on the end of his name.
Yeah.
I said you haven't seen Rory Burns, but
hey.
There we are. That's it. That's all I've got. Thanks for coming in.
If only we'd thought of that, or
exactly.
you were here to say
yesterday. Show today.
But
I'm interested in it.
It still works, bringing it back. That's very good. A couple of things to get the listeners going on this afternoon. And I was shocked to discover this morning. I mean, Sue Gray, the ubiquitous Sue Gray.
Waiting for that report, Paul.
You do feel it's a kind of way out of doing things at the moment.
Yeah.
If the other half says to you, well, I want to go down the carpet, well, I want to get some new carpet.
Yeah,
say,
yeah.
I don't feel in a position, really, to look at carpet samples until Sue Gray
has given us a report on the state of the current carpet.
Yes, and I think once Sue has had her say, then I feel like I can wander around.
Did you pour red wine all over this carpet, this cream carpet?
Well,
I can't say.
Well, let's wait until Sue Gray has concluded her. I think we're all, with respect to Sue, I think we're all heartily sick of hearing her name. With respect. But I couldn't believe today that she took a career break from the civil service to become a pub landlady.
Wow.
So in terms of, the qualification, this is a woman who knows a party when she sees one.
Yes.
Doesn't she? I mean, she really, this
Where
whole thing could have been
pull?
Nipped in the bud if she'd gone into one of those offices and said, come on, you lot, haven't you got homes to go to? I mean, that would have been...
Exactly.
That's a real shocker.
Can have a lock-in.
But yeah,
we can have a lock-in. Sue Gray's doing a lock-in. She does roast potatoes on a Sunday.
This is nice, that isn't it? Yeah, there's a little nuts and cheeselets on the old bar.
Yeah, lovely.
But she was in Ireland. She went over to. She was living in Newry, and she was a pub landlady.
Oh, nice.
But then she went back to the civil service.
Yeah.
So sometimes in life, you come across people and you're chatting to them, and you make a value judgment about maybe what they do, or certainly what they did.
Yeah.
And then you'll be chatting. They say, well, what did you do before this then? Oh, yeah, I was in the SAS. And you do the old double take.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we're interested to know, were you ever shocked and in what circumstances by someone's former life?
Yeah, lovely. Took forever to get served in Sue Gray's pub. Because you'd go up, you'd go, can I have a pint, please, and a bag of peanuts?
Yeah.
And they'd go, well, I just have to check with Sue Gray.
That's right.
And she'll get back to us in 2 weeks.
That's right, of course. That's how it goes. The problem. So being surprised by someone's former life in the Sue Gray envelope. Talksport.com/Agent Gray. See what I mean? It's just so imprinted on your mind there.
Maybe she'll be after this job soon.
Has any report been as eagerly anticipated?
I'm interested in Sue Gray sitting in this chair. How do you think she'd get on the birthday spread?
I think she'd
when
be
it's
good.
Agent Gray.
I think she'd be good. She'd be good. TSH and Gray. So anyway, let us know. Talksport.com, text 81089, tweet TSH and J. Also today, Sean Dyche was talking about what he got up to when he had, I think it was asymptomatic, so he didn't feel too bad. But he couldn't go to work, of course, because of the virus. So he said, I went to my house in Northampton, spent time there away from the family. I was fortunate that I have a garden so I can relax.
Oh, nice.
So that's a nice image. It's a bird singing, Sean sitting in the garden.
Sean sitting out there.
I did a bit of cooking and drank red wine. That's nice. I can
sounds
see
lovely.
All things,
it?
I can just see Sean in his country kitchen, the Arga, and he's got a bottle open and he's stirring the old big pot there. Yeah. It's a lovely image.
In Northampton.
He said, I read a bit and then I re-watched Entourage. He went back. He went back and watched Entourage again.
This sounds like a lovely weekend with Sean Dyche.
You are learning a lot about it. Yeah, it would be. A weekend in the life of, or 5 days in isolation with.
In Northampton.
In Northampton, yeah. He said, I watched football, did some emails, lots of Facebook, tried to keep tabs on the family while doing stuff around the house. But he said, I read a bit and... What do you imagine Sean? I think he likes a sort of Harlan Coben, and I think he'll like them. He'll like
you think
he'll like books like that. Yeah, he'll like a Lee Child
airport books.
He'll like. Do you think he'll like airport books?
Yeah.
We may be doing him a disservice. He might be sitting there reading the metaphysical poets. But I'm making a value judgment. I mean, if you know Sean, you know what his reading material is.
Unless he's reading those sort of management-y books, you know.
Oh, you
how
think
to
so?
Win friends and influence people.
That kind of thing. He'll have Art of War.
How to clear your throat.
Everybody has Art of War, don't anybody? In that kind of competitive world, they'll have a bit of that, won't they?
Books for Sean Dyche, though. I mean, it'd be good fun to just change some titles of some books. For Sean Dyche.
Would it?
Now, I mean, I've not got one in my head as we speak. Charlie. Hold on. Well, give me 2 minutes and I'll come up with one.
Well, you did have in you. It was a gag from yesterday when the moment had gone, but suddenly today you've dried.
Got nothing today. Ask me again tomorrow, Paul, when I'm not on.
Yeah, I mean, look, again, I'm making a value judgment here. I don't know. Maybe Sean may be reading all sorts.
Warhorse? Horse.
You're doing the voice games.
Okay, there we are.
Anyway, I just thought I'd bring that up. What's in Sean's bookshelf? What do you see him reading? And the other thing was today. Oh yeah, this was apparently the guys on 101 Great Goals website did a bit of a survey and asked people to tell them about how they got injured at the match. So we thought we'd expand on it. The Southampton fan knocked out by a turnstile. He's quite short, the bloke. I mean, it takes a lot of doing that, doesn't it?
Unless it's a full-size one. Yeah. You know, full-height one.
And so what, someone spun it? Are they like a roulette wheel?
It'd be quite difficult to get knocked out by one of those.
And a Watford supporter whose wrist was broken when hit by the ball.
Well, I reckon that happens a lot.
16 people injured since 2020.
Is that when Isaac Success was playing? Sat behind the goal.
I've got one of these. When the old days at Tottenham, when you were sort of standing back in the 90s.
Oh, yeah.
Late 80s, it probably would have been, wouldn't it? Yeah, mid to late 80s. I rushed in to the ground because I was running a bit late for kickoff to meet some mates at the back of the Paxton Road where I was going to stand. And they used to give away a newspaper, like sort of Tottenham News or whatever, the Daily Cockerel. And they'd hand that out as you went through the gate. They'd give you this little newspaper. And they would bind them, you know, with that sort of white plastic.
Yeah.
But where they'd taken that off and given out the papers, they'd left some of it there.
Oh.
So I'm running to get... Which you should never run, should you?
Don't
really
run,
the stadium. But I was trying to... I was moving quite relatively quickly for me. And I got both feet in the bit of plastic. And it took me down.
Oh, wow.
And it was one of those, went, blimey, you all right, mate? And I went, yeah, I'm fine. And you stand up. You feel like a Burke.
You feel about six, don't you?
Like a bolus has just attacked you.
You're immediately 6 years old in the playground.
That's right. And I've gone down. And it's only then I realised... I've got a load of claret coming out palms. Yeah, the palms have gone. Mm. I've ripped my jeans. Oof. A little bit of claret coming through there. Mum's not there to kiss it better.
There.
I'm on my own.
A bit of Dettol on it.
The bottom lip's going by this stage. And I tell my mate, what happened to you? And I said, blood everywhere. And I'm telling him. And it's only now that I could have should have sued them. Is it too late? I've got no photographic
evidence.
You've
got any evidence at all?
It's a different regime. Anyway, I don't want to bankrupt the club. They've got 400 million to spend on transfers in January, so I certainly don't want to take any of that off of them.
I watched a bloke once knock his own teeth out and then get... It was at Brentford away, talking United v Brentford away, yeah. And he'd had a few pints and we scored, and he stood up on the you know, when you're standing and you, what's that bit called? When you lean, against.
Yeah.
Stood up on top of that, slipped off it, whacked his teeth, knocked himself sort of silly, yeah. Stood up, was all over the place. They thought he was just drunk and they showed him out. That's really? A bad 2 minutes, Paul.
That is very bad. Very bad 2 minutes.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby, Charlie Baker here on Talk Sport with you through until 4 o'clock. A little bit later on in the show, we'll look at some of the big transfer stories of the day. Mm. Expect us to say Newcastle quite a lot.
You think?
Well, you know, it's very hard to come up with any transfer story of the day where Newcastle aren't interested. Also, we'll be chatting to the only club, the only Premier League club, and in these sort of glitzy days of top-level marketing and global branding, I think it's lovely that one Premier League team have a market store.
That's lovely, isn't it?
I think it's brilliant.
I think you can guess which one. I reckon you could almost guess. Probably got a choice of two in my mind, which ones it would be.
So we'll keep you guessing. You may already know, but it's a nice story, so we'll bring you that shortly. But as promised, I've got an impossible quiz.
Oh, good.
Charlie,
I'm picking a bit of...
got a bit of sweet.
You just had a chilli sweet, Paul. Like, yeah. It's like a joke shop sweet.
Some sweets have been left in the office, which is always risky, but they're sitting there, and we've all been sampling them. They're an American sweet. Mm. They start off with a very strong flavour of pineapple.
Like a pineapple cube.
But once the pineapple's worn off, you get salt. It's basically a salt sweet, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, listeners don't care
about
that.
Just picking a bit out of my teeth. Sorry about that. I apologise.
We were just chatting to Rob Harris about the FIFA Best Awards last night. And if you want to go and check it out, if you go to the FIFA website, you can see who everybody voted for. Some of our press, many of the captains of all the teams from around the world, and indeed the coaches. You can see Gareth Southgate voted for example.
Oh,
you can
go through. Who did he vote for?
I can look it up for you.
Thank you. That's not the quiz, is it?
Yeah, that's not the quiz. The quiz is, I'm going to give you some names of coaches right, from around the world, and I will reveal who they voted for a bit of added info.
Yeah.
But all I'm asking of you, Charlie, in this impossible quiz is which country do they coach?
Oh, I'm not... go on, then.
I'd love to... What did you say?
There were like 160 countries in the world.
230,
actually. Is it? Yeah, there we
but are. But I'd just like you to use your knowledge of world football. And just see how you get
I have zero knowledge of football.
Well, that's why it's an impossible quiz, and I'm expecting you...
If I get one, I think I've done very well. Let's go.
Okay, we start out with the man that you often hear him on the shipping forecast, is Terry Finisterre.
Oh, yeah. Lovely.
Terry Finisterre.
And Ginger Rogers.
That's it, yeah. Which team does
Made
Terry...
Made myself laugh, sorry.
Which team does Terry Finisterre?
He's the manager of the Bahamas, isn't he, Paul?
Oh, do you know what, Charlie? That was a pretty good game.
A good go.
It was, you're in the region.
Okay.
It was St. Lucia, a beautiful island of St. Lucia. Terry Finisterre. So, 0-1.
Okay.
Chris Kiwamya. See, that's a name that's familiar, isn't it? Chris former Ipswich player, of course, Arsenal.
Yeah.
Chris is now a coach. Oh, no, let me tell you Terry Finisterre voted for.
Okay.
He went number one, Lewandowski. Number two, Kevin De Bruyne. Number three, he went... What's that say? number three, I'll have to come back to that.
Okay.
I can't remember.
Jamie Reid?
No,
Stevenage, no?
Unlike what they normally do in these FIFA awards, you know, like the coach of Krakatoa would vote for three Krakatoan players.
Oh, yeah, sure.
But they don't do that anymore. I think they've been told not to subvert it.
Okay.
Okay, on to Chris Kiwamya.
Yeah, Chris Kiwamya is the manager of Uzbekistan.
No, when he's in the British Virgin Islands.
Oh, okay.
It would be great to speak to Chris over in Uzbekistan and see how things are going. Gabriel, so that's 0-2, Charlie.
Okay.
The impossible quiz. Gabriel Campos Madrid.
Okay.
Where does Gabriel Campos Madrid... I should tell you, shouldn't I?
Where does he manage?
Jorginho. Chris Kiwamya went Jorginho, Robert Lewandowski, Lionel Messi. They were his three choices. Gabriel Campos Madrid.
Madrid, somewhere Spanish speaking, perhaps.
Yeah, it'd be great if you got one of these.
Gibraltar, Paul.
No, you should have thought South America's El Salvador.
Of course.
Central America, El Salvador.
Of course.
Yes.
United States, Canada, Mexico, Panama, Haiti, Jamaica, Peru. That's
nice, yeah. Robert Lewandowski, Kevin De Bruyne, Lionel Messi. They were Gabriel Campos Madrid. We move into the women's section now.
Okay, good. I'll be better on this one.
And Keisha Doody.
Ah, yeah.
Keisha Doody. Who did who did she vote for?
Keisha Doody.
I'd like to know which country she
voted for.
Can I tell you, you've already said the country
Panama.
Where she coaches. You haven't already said Panama.
In that little song I just sang.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Out of the three, you've already...
Oh, Bahamas.
No, it was Gibraltar.
Oh.
Keisha Doody. She went Emma Hayes as her winner, Luis Cortez, the Barcelona coach as he was then, and Serena Wiegman.
I tell you what,
coach.
To have said Gibraltar at all in this quiz.
I know. So, the impossible quiz going much as we imagined. Yeah. And then finally, Knowledge Musona. Knowledge Musona. Who does Knowledge Musona coach, Charlie?
General. Imagine if he's a general.
Yeah.
General Knowledge.
I don't think he's in the military. Knowledge Musona.
Knowledge Musona is the manager of Turkmenistan.
No, he's not.
No.
It's Zimbabwe.
Zimbabwe,
Charlie,
of course.
He went for Mo Salah, Robert Lewandowski, and Kevin De Bruyne. So, not out of five in the impossible quiz, much as expected, Charlie. So, that was all fairly...
You told me it was impossible. It was good fun, though, wasn't it?
Well, I don't know. Up to a point.
Okay.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
We were mentioning earlier on that a Southampton fan was knocked out by a turnstile. A Watford supporter had his wrist broken when hit by the ball. And we thought we'd add to the list of the way you got injured at the match. We've had one Manchester United fan celebrating a goal and accidentally thrusting a pie in his girlfriend's eye.
That was a shame.
During the early 90s, I took my then girlfriend to her first ever match to watch Borough at the old Ayrton Park. Whilst walking up the terrace, to take our place in the Holgate end, she slipped on a sizeable piece of discarded hot dog and put her back out. Says Fletch in Borough.
Slipped on a hot dog.
Yes, that's not great, is it? Yeah. Talksport.com/H&J. You can text to 81089, tweet to TSH&J. Sean Dyche was telling us what he was up to in isolation.
Oh, yeah.
And he did a lot of reading, and we were trying to work out what would be in Sean's library. Michael suggested he definitely reads the Wix catalogue cover to cover.
That was the best one, really, wasn't it? But, you know, the Dyche man, Darren McHugh says, the Dyche man. Very
of Dyche and men.
Yeah,
of course,
lovely.
We had a few puns.
Few
not sure
those.
They work quite as well, but thank you. guys, war and set piece. Yeah, thank you very much.
That's very good.
Eccles and Molly, that's quite nice. We also wonder, we were telling you earlier on that we were quite surprised to discover today about the past of the lady everybody's talking about, Sue Gray, of course. Sue Gray took a break from the civil service and inquiries at one point to be a pub landlady.
Yeah, lovely.
In Ireland.
We've all dreamt of it, Paul. You know, I'm going to give all this up and run a bar. Like, that's easy. That's an easy thing to
she
do.
She took the route of an old footballer of the 70s, you know. Go and work, going to get my own pub.
It's Jim McNichol.
But we were just saying, sometimes in life, you know, you're slightly blindsided by someone's previous career. And Kevin says, I was doing some voluntary gardening work in the Lake District. I asked one of the other volunteers if I could borrow his knife. He said, yes, but be careful. It's as sharp as a razor. Talking to him, turns out he says he was in the SAS.
Oh,
and a lot of people say that, don't they?
I could
There's
tell,
no way
of I could say to you I'm in the SAS, but I'm not allowed to tell you.
No, exactly. So if you've been slightly surprised by someone's past life, much like Sue Gray, and say, this is a woman who knows a party when she sees one.
Yeah.
Talksport.com, text 81089, tweet TSH&J. Now, can you have a guess? We'll give you a guess now. This is not an impossible quiz. Which Premier League football club have their own market stall? Here we go.
Ooh.
Pretty good guess.
Very good guess.
As
good
Charlie
guess.
Said, there was one or two you would head for. You probably wouldn't go for the Manchester City's, Arsenal's and Liverpool's of this world.
Depends if the city or town has still got a big market, Paul. Yeah. Big market, it's not Newcastle.
Not the big market, that would be good.
Not Newcastle.
That would be good. Now, the reason I bring this up is, over the years, our old friend Mick Dennis, I follow Mick on Twitter, and he often retweets, because he's a big Norwich fan, is Norwich the club in question? He often retweets stuff from On the Stall City, which is a market stall, which is open today. I'm probably being out of business.
Market Day Tuesday, isn't it?
Yeah, market days,
Norwich.
Clearly. Here to tell us more about it, Andy Bowles from On the Stall City. Hi, Andy.
Hi there. How are you doing?
Good. Yeah, good thank you. I think this is it's beautiful. It's beautiful that in this kind of corporate branding world of, you know, the Premier League's global dominance, there's a little market still somewhere selling Norwich related gear. So tell us the story. How did this all come about?
Well, I don't know if you noticed, but Norwich aren't exactly dominating the Premier League at the moment.
At the moment.
It's early. It's early yet. You've got a couple of games
early
in
days.
There. Yeah.
Exactly, yeah. Well, we're not an official Norwich City market stall, although we get great support from the club.
Yeah.
But basically what we are, it's just myself, my wife Sharon, and my son Jacob. We run On The Stall City, which is a market stall, as you said, Norwich Market. We sell basically Norwich City and football-related memorabilia.
Lovely.
Shirts, basically stuff that we buy some stuff from the club, so we buy... you know, sort of the stuff they end up with in the club shop when they come to the end of the line. You know, these days, Premier League clubs and Championship clubs, they, what, have three, sometimes four shirts a year.
Yeah.
So at the end of the run, they may have some left over, and we buy up those and we sell them on. So, and we just volunteer. So all the money we make go to the Norwich City Community Sports Foundation.
Oh, excellent. You've raised quite a lot of money, haven't you? About £10,000,
yeah,
I would say.
Yeah, we were pretty pleased. We started trading last summer, so when sort of lockdown, if you remember that,
yeah.
Lifted. And we in the first quarter, we donated £10,000 to the Community Sports Foundation. We've been closed over the Christmas period, Christmas and COVID being the main reasons, but we're open again today, and we've been doing brisk trade down here again at Norwich Market. We've got a lovely line of the player issue kits. So, you know, basically training tops and Timu Pukki's raincoat and things like that we've been selling today.
Are they trained, are they?
Oh, meow, Charlie. Even the Torquay fans are having a pop at you now. It's come to this. I think, yeah, Timu Pukki's raincoat sounds like a fanzine, doesn't
it? Oh, yeah,
it,
lovely,
really?
Yeah.
Latest edition, yeah. Timu Pukki's raincoat.
Did you ever get something really rare or you know, a bit of memorabilia that's going to fly?
Well, we do. I mean, the reason we are operating here is mainly to raise money for the Community Sports Foundation, but also my son, who's Jacob, is autistic, and he got great, you know, benefit from the Community Sports Foundation. But we rely a lot on donations as well. So somebody's actually, while I was just waiting to speak to you, someone's just come along and just given us a watch from a Norwich City watch from 1974, I think it is.
Wow, fantastic.
Which is in mint condition, and I've actually no idea what we're going to sell that at, but it's an absolutely lovely piece. We had, at the moment, we've got a nice, lovely little 1982 Norwich City shirt on sale. We've had, you know, basically a lot of, we get a lot of vintage shirts in, so, you know, from the 70s onwards, and they do sell very well. We get, you know, books and just general, you know, tat as well. You know, the sort of stuff that football fans love to collect, you know, sort of bits and bobs from Carrow Road that have been lying around the place for a few years, that sort of thing. So, yeah, we've got, you know, a huge stock.
The training kit, Andy, is great. I would imagine it's a lot of people. Is it the idea that you can put on the training kit the players have worn to go and play your five-a-side or go down Power League in or whatever? Right. That'd be great.
Yeah, I mean... We sell it cheap. So, I mean, the stuff we're selling out today, we've got, we've got Emi Buendia. His training kit here, you know, sort of a tenner. So, that's our Timu Pukki stuff. We've got all the player issue kit from last season, you know, from the whole squad. We're selling that thing very well. But as you say, people tend to have them for five-a-side and things like that.
Yeah.
But it's just really nice.
Todd Cantwell's not match worn shirt. You got that?
Oh, you're getting some sly digs here, Charlie.
Do you have regulars? Do you have people who come down regularly to buy stuff?
We have our regulars who come in here sort of every day to buy little bits and bobs because we do get, you know, books and just odds and sods donated to us. But we also get, you know, players pop in and, you know, we've had some great donations from ex-players. We had, Darren Huckabee popped in and gave us copies of his autobiography.
Fantastic.
And
well, it's great. It's really good.
We had Jeremy Goss in here the other day. So
oh, he's a good man, Jeremy. Yeah, excellent.
He is indeed.
I was going to say
mainly for my son. So.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic. And you say you sell other stuff as well, other club related, but no Ipswich. I take it it's no Ipswich, is there?
I haven't got a lot, I'm afraid, in Ipswich at the moment. No,
surprised you got any.
Are they still going out there?
So you've started now. Charlie's infected you.
Stall next
door. We do get people. We get things popped in. We've got a we had some Rangers stuff someone donated to us. We've got a 1968 Manchester United pennant that someone's just popped into us as well. So we have a range of books. A lot of the old, you know, the shoot annuals from the 60s and 70s and things like that. We have lots of those available, and just general stuff, really. I mean, it's quite a wide range from artwork to tops. And, you know, we're selling a lot of last year's shirts and all sorts of things like that, really.
Nice one. Well, look, people should go and check it out on the Stall City. They can find you on Twitter. They can find you on thestallcity.com. They maybe want to make an offer for that rare watch or any of that, and the money going to a good cause.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Me and Charlie Baker here on TalkSport. We spoke earlier on to the guys that are on the Stall City.
Yeah.
Norwich City, it's not owned by Norwich City, but they work very closely with them. Money goes to the foundation, and it's a market stall that sells sort of Norwich City-related gear. Some of the club actually supply them with old training gear, etc.
Is it an outdoor market, Paul? Do you know?
It's an outdoor market.
Is it?
Yeah.
Do you like an indoor market, Paul, or an outdoor market?
That's a big question,
Charlie. If you're on holiday, Paul, do you get up early to go to the local market?
I don't really feel I can give an opinion on that until Sue Gray's inquiry into indoor and outdoor markets has been concluded. I'd say I prefer an outdoor market. If I'm going to a market, I want it to be outdoors.
I'm from Newton Abbott, Paul, and we had an indoor market.
Yeah.
And at purpose built.
Yeah.
An outdoor market.
Yeah.
And also a farm market, like a cattle market.
So I
like
said to you,
anyone who one of those, what, you know.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you go along?
Sell ducks and cows and sheep, a pony you could buy there.
Did you
see every Wednesday?
Go along.
Stink, Paul.
Well, it would do. Really?
Oh,
it's a menagerie.
It absolutely stink.
Yeah.
Just like all these cows. Those blokes.
Is that all there is to it?
I don't even know what I don't even think they're counting.
They know the tune, they're not necessarily the words.
That's exactly what it is.
Charlie, I set you a challenge, didn't I?
Yeah, I've not done well on it.
Because I said if you were going to have a Torquay, you and our producer, both Torquay fans, were going to set up a Torquay United stall. On the Stall City is an inspired name, of course.
Very nice.
So what have you come up with for your Torquay Market?
Quite a lot of the names.
Is Torquay Market indoor or outdoor?
Oh, I think there's an indoor and an outdoor, I expect. Because your indoor market's there permanent.
Yeah, of course.
Or 7 days, 6 days a week, probably, isn't it? Some might be seven. Whereas your outdoor is normally 1 or 2 days a week.
That's very true,
You know, you get all your jeans, all your jackets.
Good market knowledge. So what are you going to call this shop?
You need quite a lot of Torquay United history knowledge to get a lot of these.
Okay. But well, you are going to a Torquay United audience, so don't try and be all things to all men.
Bryn and Bye is what I've come up with, Paul.
Bryn and Bye. This is Bryn the dog.
Bryn the dog.
Bit the police officer in the most famous game in Torquay's history.
If you're watching the Netflix.
That's good.
That's pretty good, isn't it? Bryn and Bye. Bryn and Bye sale.
You'd have a picture of the dog in the Torquay shirt, wouldn't you?
Yeah, lovely.
Biting the police officer, which we don't condone. It was a one-off.
Or a version, a sort of stuffed version of Bryn there on the stall. That's not for sale, mate.
No, okay. That's what you'd have to say. You'd have to put a little thing around his neck saying, not for sale.
Not for sale.
Yeah.
So we had that one. The Gull's Droppings.
That's a bit, that's unpleasant.
You don't like that?
That's a bit, I prefer Bryn and Bye. That's much better.
Don't feed the gulls.
That doesn't work.
The Gull's Droppings, Paul, good. Because that's what it is, isn't it? It's stuff the club of, they don't need anymore.
The store for the gullible, says Glenn Barrington.
Market Loram was another one. I've got one of my favourite ever Torquay United players, Mark Loram.
Okay.
Who was excellent for us.
We're going with the first one, I think. I can see you.
Bryn and Bye.
I can see you on a market
store. Oh, I'd love
it. But why don't you sell Torquay-related memorabilia in the style of the animal market?
Yeah, get all your jeans, all your Torquay United shirts, all your Torquay United shirts. Torquay United shorts. It's always shorts, isn't it? Torquay United shorts in two sizes, too small, too...
That would be good.
Be lovely, wouldn't it? Who wants it?
That is definitely a winner, Charlie.
I walked in on my wife last night, Paul, she'd started without me.
Where are we going with this?
Just tell you this. You know, we've had Brett Goldstein on a few times.
Yes,
I had to admit to him that I've never seen Ted Lasso.
Yes.
Everyone always has said, you must watch Ted Lasso. You've got to watch it.
Yeah.
You must watch it.
You'll
absolutely love it. You all love it. It's right up your street. And if someone says that sort of thing to me, Paul, the sort of person I am, puts me off.
Right, okay.
I'm not going to watch it. Just through spite, almost.
Okay, yeah.
I'm not going to watch it. Anyway, we've recently got a new laptop.
Nice.
And it came with Apple TV.
Yeah.
And Sam, my wife's been going, let's watch Ted Lasso, let's watch. And I've been like, we'll watch it another time. Anyway,
you can use it on your telly. You're not aware. You just log into your telly and you can watch Apple TV on your telly as well.
She's got fed up. She's on episode 6. She's gone off without me. So
really?
Oh, damn it.
You're now playing catch up.
I'm going to have to catch up now. It's going to be a nightmare. But you tell me I should watch it, don't you, Paul?
When your partner goes rogue like that and watches a series and gets into a series and you're not part of that, then you're confined to the other
room.
You've
got nothing to talk about, Paul.
I'll say three words, and to me, Sons of Anarchy. My missus got into that,
and I
couldn't catch up.
No,
I couldn't watch them on my own quick enough. And in the end, it became her thing. And I just never got to watch it.
And you've never been able to talk about it. Well, don't bring that up again.
Yeah, that's right. Until actually, I was thinking of watching it until I came in the very last moment of the last episode, which kind of made the whole watching the rest of it completely pointless.
But did you watch it and think, well, I've seen it now?
Yeah, I kind of did.
I know what happened. Like, it's like you just got a book and you flick to the back page, Paul.
It does happen.
Oh, he dies in the end.
We've got more African Cup of Nations football later on. Yesterday, Serge Aurier went in goal for Ivory Coast, or the day before, Ivory Coast against Sierra Leone.
Mm.
And I'm just glad he finally found his position. It's great for Serge. Just to find somewhere where he can play unhindered is an absolute
joy. Imagine that if he went in, Paul, and he was unbelievable.
Yeah.
And he was phenomenal in goal.
Yeah.
And he came back and he's worth 30 million quid as a keeper.
Yeah. Tottenham buy him back as a goalie.
Yeah, it's brought him
That's
back.
That's right. He's back. But this time, he's a goalkeeper. He can do less damage there.
There we are.
Do less damage in that right wing back position.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Sean Dyche,
yeah, sorry, yeah, sorry.
Sean Dyche was talking earlier on. No, he wasn't. Sean Dyche, we were told after a press conference yesterday what he got up to in his isolation.
Yes, lovely. It sounded like a lovely little trip.
Glass of red, did a bit of cooking,
and
read a lot of books. And we were trying to think, he'd like the Harlan Cobens. And Lee Charles of this world. I think he'd like those sorts of books. So I said, we don't know. We're just guessing the kind of thing that.
Or a World War II sort of novel.
You think he'd like he'd like a Harris, would he?
Agent Zigzag. You ever read that, Paul? That's good. About a triple agent.
Supposed to be very good. Supposed to be a very good book.
Especially after Chris Woods left. Chris Woods would be like, was he a triple agent? Maybe he's
about. He may do his own version
about
that. So you've been trying to guess what sort of books you'll find on the Dyche bookshelf. I think this would be Sean would be definitely reading 1984-42.
Lovely stuff,
says Robert, bringing it back to football. And what else did we
Game of Throwings?
Game of Throwings.
That was lovely, but that's anonymous from somebody there. But thank you for that one.
Also, a bit unpleasant from Jim Bree. Anything by Ian Fleming, but he spelt the first part of Fleming with a PH. Bit unpleasant. Thank you very much, Ian, for that. So you can keep those coming this afternoon. Some of the weird and wonderful ways maybe you got injured at the football, a Southampton fan knocked out by a turnstile, Watford supporter, wrist broken when the ball was hit. Happens more frequently than you think. I brought you the time that I was taken down by a bit of plastic wrapping around some newspapers at Tottenham and grazed me knee, ripped my jeans. Oof. Not pleasant back in the late 80s. Charlie, didn't you have a tale of your wife?
Well, she got ill. It was my fault she got ill at the football. We once had an old VW Polo, and I left it outside my flat in London, and it got smashed. Every single window except the windscreen was smashed
up. Was it one of those police aware situations where they put a big sticker on the window?
More or less. Anyway, I taped up some of the windows, and I said, I'll tell you what, let's get it back to my dad, who's a car dealer. He'll be able to get rid
of
it somehow.
Shift that for you. An old Polo with no windows.
Exactly.
Car of the week.
So we drove it.
That would be star salesperson.
Exactly.
Whoever managed to get that off
the
forecourt. There's an extra 20 quid in it for you if you can get that off the forecourt.
So we drove it from London to Devon.
Yeah.
And it was like, have you ever seen Planes, Trains and Automobiles when they're in the car that's burnt out? And I say, it'll be fine. Come on, we'll put coats and hats on and it'll all be fine. And we drove down, and got there, and she didn't feel that well when we got there. And I said, go on, let's go out. We'll go to the football tonight. That'll cheer us up. Go and see Talk United. She got there, and she had quite a lot of exhaust inhalation.
Really?
Yes.
You'd poisoned your own wife.
I poisoned her. So we sat in the family stand under a blanket. Because I didn't want to miss the game, Paul.
No, of course not. You've got to get your priorities right,
get my priorities.
Charlie,
so she was, but she wasn't well and we didn't go home. But, you know, there we are. And my dad sold the polo for 50 quid. So there we are. Well done.
I hope he took a big chunk of that.
I know, no.
I just had a car with no window. I must have thought it was a stock car.
Parts,
the
isn't
doors
it?
Welded up.
Well, he used to drive stock car. But that's for another time,
Oh, it
Paul.
Is. Fantastic.
Gold top Bill Batten, Wednesday nights.
Marvellous. Bring back stock car racing.
Bring back the stock car.
Like it's never been away.
You can have a stock car. Come on.
Like it's never been away. Death Destruction Derby.
Oh,
lovely. The big
yeah.
race at the end of the night.
Back, they used to do Newton Abbott. They used to do bonfire night. They'd have the bonfire in the middle of it and they'd race round it.
It's a health and safety nightmare,
yeah, I know.
Charlie.
Lovely though, eh?
Well, that
Brilliant.
Sounds like a mad race, but nowhere near as mad as the Paris-Dakar rally. Sam Sunderland's won it twice.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Yeah, there's games in the Championship, some big games in the Championship tonight and beyond. Scottish Prem with crowds back. I'm sure that's a joy for everybody. Back last night, Celtic Aberdeen. And Fulham, Birmingham, Preston North End, Sheffield United.
Yeah.
So you're off to a game, Charlie.
I'm going to Fulham, Birmingham tonight, Paul.
Yeah.
I'm hoping to see a lot of goals.
Well, you normally do with Fulham.
They've scored 13 in their last two games.
Yeah, I know.
Last time I went, it was 1-1.
Oh, okay.
So, not great. That was the Bournemouth. But, yeah, Birmingham tonight, who I know I've got trouble off the pitch. Which, Dance has been shining a light on that today. But, yeah, looking forward to it. I love Craven Cottage. Midweek match. Under the floodlights.
Yes. Nice place to go and watch your football. Nice ground.
Fantastic. It's going to be
Excellent.
Great, isn't it?
Well, enjoy.
I'll try to, Paul.
And Adrian, Darren will keep you in touch with that one. From Seven, as well as Preston North End, Sheffield United. But to go and win a 10,000-kilometre race once is one thing. To do it twice is madness.
Fantastic, yeah.
It's the Dakar Rally. It used to be called the Paris-Dakar Rally. It's not between Paris and Dakar anymore. In fact, it moves, isn't it, as far as I understand. But what do I know? Let's speak to the man in question. He did it in 2017. He's done it this year as well. Sam Sunderland joins us. Sam, good afternoon.
Hey, mate, how you doing?
Yeah, good, thank you. Look, congratulations.
Yeah, well done.
Thank you very much. Super appreciate it.
A lot of people won't understand how this works, and probably, let's be honest, we're among them. So it's a sort of set. Is it always the same length of race, but it may take a place in different parts of the world?
So it's normally between 12 and 14 days. And it used to be first, obviously, like you said before, Paris to Dakar as like a mad adventure race. And then it moved to South America, sort of did the tour of South America. And now the last 2-3 years, it's been in Saudi Arabia there. So yeah, always a long, long way and over all kinds of terrains, from dunes to rocks, mountains, you know, all kinds of different riverbeds and all the rest.
So you know, you must need a very kind of versatile bike to do something like this if you're on different terrains, or do you switch bikes dependent on the terrains, or do you do it all on one bike?
So it's all on one bike. I ride a GasGas 450. Like, we're limited to 450 engine size. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's obviously got, I think, 250 kilometers capacity, like fuel capacity. And then we've got all the navigation equipment on top there. So we have to stop, refuel throughout the day as well. So yeah, a fair bit going on.
And if you fall off, it's up to you. If you get lost, it's up to you. It's very much a solo race,
so
isn't
no
it?
No support team
or anything.
So yeah, during the evening we've got like the team and all the support guys that can help with whatever dramas you had throughout the day. But yeah, once we set off there, most mornings at around 3 a.m, we're on your own to deal with your own battles until you get back. And you know, most days were 800-900 kilometers, and that's a fair amount of time to spend on your own with your bike.
How many competitors take part in your particular race, Sam? And how often are you kind of wheel to wheel when you're over that sort of distance? I guess not that often. I suppose it's probably days when you don't see anybody.
Most days, so there's around 150 guys on the bikes, and then there's also trucks, cars, quads, buggies, all sorts of other vehicles. But like in the bike category, we set off first each morning, and there's like 2 to 3 minutes between each rider. So if you know, normally you'll pass a few guys if you're going fast, and if you're going slow, be overtaken by a few guys. But yeah, my goal is to try and get the win. So hopefully I'm overtaken and not being overtaken.
That's right.
I can't imagine motorbikes like sand very much. And the thing that's thrown at motorsport a lot of the time is it's all the car, you know, especially with Formula One. What are the updates in motorcycling that have really helped you, or is a bike is a bike is a bike?
In like the basic form, I guess it's still pretty much, you know, they haven't came on that much. You know, it's still two wheels, some suspension, throttle and brakes. But, you know, the guys are always working like to try and, because they limited the engines to 450 cc capacity, relatively small engine for that kind of distance. And as you say, the sand and the types of terrain and the temperatures, they take such a hammer in. And it's a bit of a testament to the boys over there in Austria that get the engines sort of fast and reliable. And then obviously always trying to search for better suspension, better traction control, better, you know, just a better package overall. If you spend so long with your bike that it needs to be the best way it can.
In a race that long over so many miles, there must have been a few dramas along the way. What did you encounter? Were there hopefully no bad accidents, but what were the obstacles that came your way?
Unfortunately, I had a little upside downer there on day four.
I had
a pretty good crash and gave myself a concussion and hurt my neck pretty bad, damaged the handlebars and the front brake. So, it took a little bit of... I was digging in the bottom of the barrel there for some motivation to keep going. You know, a few dark thoughts started creeping in about stopping because I still had 2 kilometers to go. But yeah, it was, turns out it was worthwhile to keep cracking on with it.
You're a Red Bull athlete, Sam.
Yeah.
And you see all the Red Bull sports. You know, the one I like is the downhill mountain biking. I don't know if you've ever, the Rampage. It's absolutely,
they basically
chuck themselves off a cliff.
Have you tried that, Sam?
Try and style it out. Do you diversify into other sports?
Obviously it's a huge, like, sort of, you know, thing for me to be part of the Red Bull family, and they help, caffeine helps a lot in a 12-day race for sure. I don't think I'm quite brave enough to do a Rampage. I've never seen the pictures of them when they edited out the bicycles. It's absolutely mad. You've got the guys jumping off these cliffs, but they've edited the bicycles out, and it just looks like they're like cliff diving or something. Crazy, really crazy.
What's your background then? So was it kind of motocross that got you into this?
Yeah, exactly. I was I grew up racing motocross in like the British and European Championships, and then 2009 I moved over to Dubai, and that was when I kind of moved over to the desert racing side, and I've been doing that ever since.
And how many people have won it twice over the years? Is it quite rare?
So there's me and an Aussie bloke called Toby Price, who's my former teammate, not a very long list, but
that's great.
Have a Brit put it up there for sure.
Absolutely. And do you know when you cross the line that it's yours? Do you break the tape, arms in the air, or how does it work?
Honestly, this year's race was so like closely fought. It was pretty stressful, like until the last kilometer. We were, you know, after 12 days, 10,000 kilometers, 40 hours, we were fighting over minutes. And when I won in 2017, I won by 35 minutes. But yeah, this year's race, I won by 3 minutes on the last day. So it was pretty stressful, but it in the same time, it just makes it all that much better that I managed to get it done, you know?
Yeah, sport's always better. It's like a 5-day test match going to the wire. It's like when you've gone into something for that long and it still goes down to the wire.
Are you pulling sand out of your pants for the next 6 weeks?
You'll be finding sand in places you didn't know you had places, won't you, really?
Yeah. You need a double shower each day, you know? Yeah.
Completely sandblasted. Lovely skin, though, you love. Lovely. Well, look, good to talk to you, Sam. Congratulations
Sam.
Again.
Congratulations.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much, guys. Good to speak to you. Cheers.
There we are. 2-time winner of the Dakar Rally. A Brit, Sam Sunderland.
You've been to motocross, Paul?
I've not been to motocross, Johnny. Are you a fan?
No, it's brilliant. It's brilliant. I used to go a lot as a kid. And with my dad used to love it and take us there. And they're just, I don't think they're professional. A lot of them. I mean, some of them are, obviously. Yeah. But some of them, it's just, you know,
kicking up a lot of mud,
but they're all brilliant at it.
Yeah.
And they're it's all crashes and big jumps, and you can't believe they're doing it. One of those sports where, wow, it's amazing. Really good sport.
I'll check out that thing when they go down
the ramp. The Red Bull Rampage, there's nothing better than Red Bull Rampage. You can't believe your eyes. You can't believe your eyes. And they're going, and he's going to take this line. You're like, what? That line off the massive cliff? Yeah, and then he'll land on there because that's the faster line. And you go, well, they're incredible. They are incredible. And then they want to fall off, do his shoulder, get back on, you know.
Hard as nails.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
So there we are. That was this afternoon's show. We look forward to you opening your market stall, Charlie. So we got a title. What's it called?
What do we go for in the end? Not the gulls droppings. The Bryn and Buy sale.
Bryn and Buy sale.
I do like gullmouth scramble. I prefer that.
Look out for that in Torquay Market. You're back on Thursday.
Thursday, Paul, for a spread. And I'm coming for you this week.
Good stuff. I'll look forward to it. Bring it on. Andy will be back tomorrow. Got some fine guests joining us tomorrow, including the actor Jason Isaacs, you know, from Harry Potter. Also Ian Shaw, who's in a fine play in the West End, of son of Robert Shaw, the excellent Jaws actor. Yeah.
And looks the spit of him, Paul.
He does.
Absolutely.
We'll be chatting with him. Jason, a big Liverpool fan, so we'll talk some football. If you can join us, great. If not, podcast available at around 4 o'clock tomorrow. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.